Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
You're listening to The John Cordray Show, number 4. The John Cordray Show, where emotionally healthy living is a way of life. John is a licensed therapist and a national certified counselor, and he will help you learn to feel better so you can live better. Do you want to know how to improve your life? Get into the green zone. Do you get angry a lot? Do people tell you you have an anger problem, but maybe you don't want to go to some class or take time to see a therapist? Then my anger management video course may be just what you need. I designed my anger management video course to walk you step by step to learn how to control your anger. It's exactly what I teach my clients who come to see me in my office, but for a fraction of the cost. Find out more at keepcalmacademy.com. That's keepcalmacademy.com, or you can visit my website at johncordray.com. You're in the green zone with John Cordray. All right, let's get started and welcome back to my show. And the show is all about how you can get into the green zone, or the zone where you're happy and joyful and peaceful most of the time. And that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? If you're listening to this, you probably have some form of emotional struggle, whether it's anxiety or depression, stress, anger, just feeling overwhelmed, you name it. And if that's you, then you're right at the right spot. So welcome. Perhaps you're listening and you just want to know more about a certain topic so you can help a friend or a loved one who struggles. And that's great too. So I welcome you as well. So today, I wanted to talk about specifically about anxiety. Anxiety is that blue zone that I talk a lot about, the three different zones, the red, blue, and green. Green is the happy zone, if you will, and blue is the anxious, the depressed, the afraid. That's that zone that many people are in with anxiety. And so I want to talk more about the blue zone, the red zone being anger, stress, and just pent-up frustration that you just can't get rid of. But the blue zone, the anxiety, and specifically what it's like to live with extreme anxiety, very, very high anxiety. I'm not talking about just your jittery feelings, or maybe you're a little nervous about getting up in front of people and doing some kind of a presentation. Not talking about that. We all have a certain amount of anxiety or a certain amount of fear that could be healthy, that can prevent us from doing something really stupid, like running out in the middle of a highway or jumping off a high cliff without really thinking about it. So we need some type of anxiety or a little bit of fear to slow us down some and let us think before we do something. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm wanting to talk about somebody who lives with extreme anxiety all the time. They wake up in the morning anxious. They go about their day anxious. They go at night, try to lay down and go to sleep, feeling anxious. And this is extreme anxiety. And believe it or not, a lot of people live with extreme anxiety. And so I wanted to talk about that today. And some of you may know I'm a licensed therapist as well as a national certified counselor. And I see clients all the time that come to my office, and a lot of them suffer from some form of high anxiety. And, you know, the like I said before, we all need a certain amount of fear or anxiety to keep us safe. But sometimes it's those very emotions that are meant to keep us safe, to prevent us from doing harm to ourselves, can actually make us feel very unsafe, which is kind of ironic. And that's what happens a lot of times with our emotions. They're normal emotions, but they're magnified 10, 20 fold. And if you don't know what anxiety is like, then talk to somebody who struggles, and you'll at least get a little bit of an understanding, not fully, obviously, if you never had anxiety, but hearing somebody who maybe feel like they're anxious or they're worried or they're just intense fear, it's so magnified, it's like an internal prison. Can't get off the bed, can't get off the couch. For some, the anxiety is so high that they cannot leave their home. And so they're stuck, literally a prison in their own home because of their anxiety. So it's that type of extreme high anxiety, that real intense anxiety, that just stops you in your tracks. It makes you sweat excessively at times, and your heart is beating and perhaps out of your chest, and it could debilitate and prevent you from doing just about anything and everything. Many times people have to get off of work and get on some type of disability, short-term, long-term disability even, because their anxiety is so high that they can't go to work and function. And it's just something, a part of their brain that is out of whack, or perhaps some kind of a trauma happened as they were perhaps a long time ago when they were a child, and there are a lot of triggers that tend to crop up and set the anxiety up off all over again. And so this is the type of anxiety that a lot of people have. You may or may not suffer from it yourself, but I wanted to talk about, at least briefly, there are mainly eight different types of anxiety. And a lot of people who have come to see me with intense anxiety often say that they feel like they're going to faint, or maybe they're choking and suffocating. They feel like they're going crazy. Sometimes they're dizzy and their heart is pounding out of their chest, and they're sweating and they have chills. And the most common feature that a lot of my clients say is that they have feelings of impending disaster. Something is going to happen. Something terrible is going to happen. And nobody and nothing can tell them or convince them otherwise. It's just going to happen. And so they're fretting and they're thinking about that particular thing, that worst case scenario is going to happen. And they believe it. It's not just a feeling. It becomes a belief. And then that prevents them. It paralyzes them. It keeps them from enjoying life. It quite literally puts them in that blue zone, and they can't get out. And sometimes people might even take medication. Different people have different thoughts on that. My thought is, if it helps, great. But it's trying to figure out exactly what medication would help. I've had some clients on who have anxiety, who are on medication, and the medication really helps. Other clients, not so much. There can be some side effects. So you really need to think through that. If you're thinking about medication, talk to your doctor, talk to a therapist, talk to somebody about that. And it's quite possible you may need medication if you have anxiety all the time, that you just need to get some relief. So that's my encouragement for you. Okay, so there's 8 main types of anxiety. There could be variations of these 8 types, but for the most part, the DSM-5, which is the diagnostic manual that therapists use to diagnose clients, there are mainly 8 categories of anxiety. And the first one is a panic disorder. You probably have heard of panic attacks before. Panic disorder is somebody who has panic attacks all the time. It's almost daily, frequently, throughout the day. I've had a client who, with a panic disorder, would be walking and pacing back and forth in their room because of anxiety, and all of a sudden, boom, they fall and they faint because of their panic disorder. The second one is called agoraphobia, and you may have heard of this before, but agoraphobia is the avoidance of places or situations. This is someone who can't leave their apartment or their home, for instance, because the outside world is too scary for them. It's their anxiety that something bad's going to happen. They might meet somebody they don't know. It's an unfamiliar environment. So that's somebody that has agoraphobia, that just, or maybe they can leave their apartment or home, but they're kind of white knuckling it. And it's really intense to maybe go to the doctor or go to the dentist or go to an appointment. If they have to go, they'll go, but it's not fun. And then they fret over the fact that they have to leave. So that's agoraphobia. The third one is called a specific phobia. Probably the most common that you may have heard are a fear of spiders, arachnophobia. And there, if you were to Google phobias, you probably will see thousands, or if not hundreds, of different phobias. And people are afraid of various things. For various reasons. And so very specific phobias, some it's snakes, some it's the fear of heights. I think my first experience with specific phobia was actually with my mom. She had, and I think she still has, a intense fear of snakes. And I grew up in the country, and which is probably not the best place for someone to live if they have a fear of snakes. But my mom was, with my dad and I and brother and sister, we lived in the country. So we had lots of land and lots, you guessed it, lots of snakes. And so I picked up pretty early on that my mom was afraid of snakes, and being the prankster that I was, I would make it my mission at times when I was young to go around and collect as many snakes as I could and put them in a bucket and show my mom and laugh as she screamed and ran off and got after me. And that was just part of my sadistic humor, I guess, as a child. But that was my first experience of someone who had a specific phobia, and in this case was my mother with snakes. So, Mom, if you're listening, I love you, and I know you still have a fear of snakes, and that's okay. You just avoid them, walk around them, and you'll be okay. And that's the thing with specific phobias. It's because it's attached to something very specific. If you have an intense fear over that, you can avoid it pretty easily, right? So if it's spiders, well, you know, just don't look under desk or go to dark places. Don't go looking for them. Just kind of avoid them, If it's fear of heights, just don't go up in high places. Other times, though, it's not as easy to avoid specific phobia. But that's what that is. The fourth one is kind of related, and it's called social phobia. And this is a place where someone who has intense anxiety around people, public places, maybe meeting new people, going somewhere new, someone who hates crowds, someone who just feels suffocated when there are a lot of people around. Someone with social phobia, for instance, if they hate going into stores, and maybe the big, great big stores like a super Walmart or something like that, there are certain parts of the store that they can't cross because it's just too far into the store and too far away from the exit. And so that panic feeling starts to creep in with someone with social phobia. Holidays are often very difficult for people with social phobia because holidays are associated with gatherings and family gatherings. And even if it's people that they know, a lot of times people with social phobia still feel very uncomfortable, very uneasy to be around people. They're not uncomfortable to be around anybody. Obviously, there are certain people that they feel more comfortable with, maybe a spouse or even a child, best friend, but it's a very small group that they feel comfortable with. And when they go beyond that to public places, it can be very difficult. Perhaps it could be hard to go through the drive-thru and have to order food in the drive-thru because their fear of messing up and another person taking the order might laugh at them. So it's that fear of embarrassment. Something bad's going to happen. So that's the fourth one. The fifth anxiety, type of anxiety is what I call, it's not what I call, it's what is called the obsessive compulsive disorder. OCD is an acronym. And this is somebody who things have to be in order. Things have to make sense to them. And if it doesn't, they feel anxious. They feel like life is off balance. A lot of times people with OCD are very clean freaks. They're afraid of germs. And so they're excessively cleaning things, excessively washing their hands, for instance. Or they spend hours and hours in the shower and bathroom and because they're obsessing over perhaps a dirt or something they think is some kind of a blemish that they're wanting to get rid of. And so they obsess over it. They compulse over it. For some, it's checking the locks and having to make sure all the doors are locked and multiple times before they can go to bed. Sometimes people, when they walk up a step, each step they have to count a certain amount. And then they can't go to the next step until they get to that number. Because if they don't get to that number, they feel anxious. So an OCD is literally someone who can spend hours and hours on certain things that other people may not. And it could be a huge hindrance and can really be an inconvenience to somebody who has to go to work or has some deadlines, but they can't seem to get there because they have to complete a task before they go. And this is particularly difficult for someone who lives with other family members who are not as clean, not as neat as that person. And as you can imagine, that can really drive that person crazy. And so it'd be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for someone who struggles with OCD to live in a big family, and that family is not too concerned about cleanliness. That can be difficult for both sides. But not impossible. Like I said, there are certain things that can be done to help with that.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, this is Ross, the host of Smells Like Humans. Each week, we talk about the curious things that people do. This show is for you When you're in the mood for unscripted, lighthearted conversation, personal stories, and just a smattering of psychology and information you can use, I promise we will make your day pass a little faster and put a smile on your face. Sometimes silly, sometimes serious, but always fun. Please join us, because no matter who you are, we all smell like human. Please follow the link in the show notes.
The sixth type of anxiety, I think this is becoming more and more, the awareness is becoming more, and that's called post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, the acronym. And I think we are learning more and more about this because of our men and women of the military. Someone who has experienced something very traumatic, perhaps a death of a person, or perhaps they actually killed somebody, or their life was almost was in danger, or a friend, they witnessed a very traumatic event. That can really, really mess with your mind. Whether you're in the military or police or fire, first responders, and you don't have to be a first responder or in the military to have PTSD. It's really just any traumatic experience. So if you've been in a car wreck, and that could be a very traumatic experience, and you could have post-traumatic stress. And there are certain triggers that can happen, and a trigger is something that you're not aware of. It just kind of surprises you, and then it creates this reaction inside of you, an emotion, and it takes you away from the reality into that world of panic and doom and gloom and fear. It's fear-based. So a post-traumatic distress disorder can really hinder somebody, can change them if they don't get help. So if you know somebody that has post-traumatic stress and they're not getting help, you're probably seeing that they are a completely different person. They kind of retreat inside their head and withdraw from everybody. And that's a typical response to post-traumatic stress. The next one, the seventh type of anxiety, is called acute stress disorder. And this is something that can really happen, very similar to post-traumatic distress. Something very specific happened, very, very concise, something that happened that really threw you off, something that really shook your world. And that could be acute stress disorder. And your anxiety, the stress is so high that it's preventing you from doing much of anything in life. So it's not your typical stress. It's acute distress or acute stress. And it's much more than just your typical stress. And then the last type, number eight, is called generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD. Generalized anxiety disorder, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's general, meaning that you just have anxiety, and there's no specific rhyme or reason to it. It's not like agoraphobia. It's not really specific phobia. It's just all the time. And it's just there, and there's no real reason for it. It just happens to be there. So generalized anxiety disorder, you can pretty much do things. You can go to work. You can go to school. You can pretty much function, but you always have that anxiety that's always there. You can't just relax. It may not prevent you from doing certain things, which it could though, but it's the anxiety is just there and always in the background, and you never seem to relax. So those are the eight types of anxiety, and I had people ask me, well, where does anxiety come from? And there's no great answer other than what we do know is anxiety is often hereditary, so it could be passed down from generation to generation. It can be also caused by some type of trauma. It could be anxiety. Could be situational. Something might have happened, and you feel like it's going to happen again. So that situation made you feel that way. So anxiety can come from different places. It could be a part of your chemical makeup in your brain that's out of whack and out of balanced. So, you know, there's not always a specific reason for the anxiety. Something that either it's hereditary, you're just kind of predispositioned for it. You had a trauma. Something happened when you were a child, perhaps, to really embarrass you. Things that can really stand out, and it just kind of makes you anxious and worried that it might happen again. So a lot of times people with anxiety also have this idea that people can read their minds, or they can read their minds, actually. And the people with anxiety can just know that people are watching them and making fun of them, and but that's not the case. People can't read your mind, and that people are not looking to see you messed up and then laugh and make fun of you. Although that's kind of what anxiety does, doesn't it? It makes you feel embarrassed. It makes you feel inadequate. Anxiety just really can tear you down. It can really destroy any type of self-confidence. And so a lot of times people with anxiety also have what I call an inner critic. In fact, probably we all have an inner critic, but the anxiety tends to bring the inner critic out even more. And so this inner critic is this voice in your head, not that you hear voices, but the thoughts in your head that tell you all the reasons why you're a failure. It tells you all the reasons why you're insignificant, or you're a loser, or come on, why can't you do this? Everyone else can do it. So that's that inner critic. And, you know, I would just say, don't listen to it. Don't listen to the inner critic. I know it's easy for me to say, but that's just something for you to try. Try not to believe this inner critic, and look for things that are more positive rather than negative to tear you down. But the good news is extreme anxiety is treatable. If you have anxiety and it might feel like nothing's going to help, that you're always going to feel this way for the rest of your life, well, it doesn't have to. Anxiety is treatable, very treatable, actually, and you can get help for it. You don't have to give up on your life. You don't have to resort to a life of misery, being in the blue zone. And there are specific tools that you can do to help reduce your anxiety. So you can do something about your anxiety, but that's the thing. You have to be the one to want it. You have to have the motivation to get the help. And a lot of times the anxiety takes away the motivation. I know that. I get that. And clients that come to see me who have anxiety, it's very difficult for them because they're going to come into my office, and one of the first things I'm going to ask them is, how are things going? And so they're immediately going to have to talk about their anxiety. But that's the thing. You have to. That's where you have to start. You have to face your fear, face your anxiety, or else you're not going to get anywhere. So you might have to humble yourself and swallow your pride and make an appointment to see a therapist if you're not already. I would recommend that you find a therapist that's actually trained in treating anxiety or has experience in treating anxiety. It's not necessarily something that you sit down and just talk about it. You need to actually have a plan, homework, if you will, tools to put to place to work on your anxiety. So it is treatable. Anxiety is horrible, is terrible. It's invisible. Nobody can see it. It's not like a broken arm or a broken leg and people can, you know, come up and sign it. Nobody can see it. It's an inner wound and it's very real. It's debilitating And I just want to encourage you, if you are a person who really struggles with one of the eight types of anxiety, I just want to encourage you to get help. Talk to somebody. Tell somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk to a spouse or talk to your friend, someone that you trust, and say, you know what, I've got to tell you something. I really struggle with anxiety, and I need to get help. Will you help me? You need someone to come alongside you and help you with that. So that's the extreme anxiety, the different types. I hope this helps in some way. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, go to my website at johncordray.com. And I have all kinds of resources there. I put new resources and tools all the time. My goal is to get as much up there as possible. I have a lot of posts. I blog quite often on this. Listen to some other podcasts. I'll be talking about more anxiety as the days go on. But go to johncordray.com. Look around there. And I would love it if you would reach out to me on social media. I'm on just about anything that you are, so look for me there. And I'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. Do you get angry a lot? Do people tell you you have an anger problem, but maybe you don't want to go to some class or take time to see a therapist? Then my anger management video course may be just what you need. I designed my anger management video course to walk you step by step to learn how to control your anger. It's exactly what I teach my clients who come to see me in my office, but for a fraction of the cost. Find out more at keepcalmacademy.com. That's keepcalmacademy.com, or you can visit my website at johncordray.com. You have been listening to the John Cordray Podcast Show. Until next time, stay in the green zone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.